you would, please turn your Bibles to Joshua.
Joshua chapter 14. I appreciate Brother Gilliam's prayer, in which he expressed gratitude for the example of those who are older and the manner in which their illustrations of faith in their lives can impact others who are younger. And I think we see this borne out many times throughout the scriptures. And the story of Joshua, or excuse me, the story of Caleb is a story that I think in many ways accomplishes exactly the same thing. We find many lives of faith being recorded in the scriptures for the benefit of those who would come sometime after, maybe even thousands of years after, and in attempting to live lives of faith now, can look back upon those examples of others in the past and be profitably instructed. And I'd like for us to spend a few moments in our study this evening talking about Caleb, and in particular about Caleb's conquest. And I'm sure that that most, if not all of you, are familiar with the character Caleb, the individual, who was one of those 12 men that Moses selected out and sent to enter the promised land, to spy it out, and then to bring back a report to Moses and to the people that was intended to be preparatory for their entering the land. It was intended to be, in some ways, kind of a launching pad for that that conquest of the land of Canaan. It didn't turn out that way, as you well know. But even in spite of the failure of the 10 spies that went into that land, there were two who were stalwart men of faith who came back and who assured the people that regardless of the seemingly unconquerable obstacles that lay before them, they could nonetheless do exactly what God instructed them to do. Both Caleb and Joshua stood firm in their report to the people that we should go into the land and we should possess it just as God instructed us to. But because of the unbelief of the people, that just wasn't to be. That wasn't going to occur. And so it is in many ways a tragic story. But even in the midst of tragedy, there is this demonstration of great faith. And I want to suggest to you this evening that when we think about Caleb's example and the conquests that we see demonstrated in his life, there are three things that we can take from this. And that is, first of all, the importance of character. If one is indeed going to overcome the obstacles that they faced in life, it's going to require character on their part. And Caleb was a man of character. If you look in verses in Joshua chapter 14, and we'll read verses 6 through 15 that summarize this story, and then we'll come back to some individual points. He says in verse 6, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully.' So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you, to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war, for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. This, of course, is a summary of some 40 years after the time that Caleb and Joshua tried to persuade the people to enter into the promised land. And they refused, and they spent that time wandering in the wilderness. And now we fast forward to this moment in time, and they're on the border of the promised land once again, ready to go in and to enter. And these verses that we've read record Caleb's request made to Joshua, his colleague that he had stood with firmly in faith. And he makes this request to him to now honor what God had promised him back those many years before, that because of his faithfulness, he would receive a portion of the land as an inheritance for himself and for his family. Caleb is asking for that. But in the midst of this description, we have this very informative description of the character of this man, Caleb. Look, if you would, in verse 8, for instance. He says, "Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me. My brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God." As Caleb reflects upon those things that had happened those decades before, he said, "I followed the Lord my God. I remained faithful." Because of that, God had made these commitments to him. Even in the face of resistance, in the face of opposition, in the face of criticisms, "I followed the Lord my God." That's character. You know what the difference is between character and reputation. Reputation is what other people think of you. Character is what the Lord and your wife know about you. And I'll tell you what you can know about Caleb, what these people could know about Caleb. That is that he is on this day when we're reading here in Joshua, that he is an 85-year-old giant killing mountaineer. And that took character. And it remained with him in these latter years of his life. It was not something that characterized him only in his youth, but also in his old age. And he affirms it himself. But look in verse 9, where we're told, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Now Caleb said it, "I followed the Lord my God fully." And then Moses said it, "You followed the Lord your God fully." Now drop down, if you would, to verses 13 and 14. As we read, Joshua blessed him, gave him Hebron, gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Caleb said it. Moses confirmed it. And now we see that Joshua acknowledges it, giving him the inheritance that he requested because he'd followed the Lord his God. You know, there may be in some circles the judgment rendered against Caleb that he was just arrogant. I mean, for a man to say, "I have followed the Lord my God fully." But I think that's probably reading into that statement something that's not there. That is not a decree of sinless perfection. That's not a self-righteous declaration. And I suspect that if you had the occasion to sit down with Caleb, he would very, very easily confess to you that there were ways in which he had failed the Lord. But of his life, as he looked back as an 85-year-old man, he looked back upon his life, he could accurately say of it, this is what I set out to do. This is what I have done. I have followed my Lord. Can you think of a better statement of purpose for your life than to be a man or a woman who in their old age could look back upon their life and say, this is what I did. Maybe imperfectly, most certainly imperfectly. But nonetheless, this is what I did. And can you think of a better testament that could be given to you by those that know you the best? Like Moses knew Caleb, and like Joshua knew Caleb, and to have both of them to say of that man, that's exactly what he did. I hope that one day, when those of you that are youngsters here can look back and think about old man Owen, that you can say, that's what he did. Now, I knew him well, and that's what I remember about him. And you know, that's exactly what all of these stories that we have in the Scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, that speak about men and women of faith, that's exactly what they are intended for. They are intended as proclamations of faithfulness by men and women who live throughout history, so that men and women who live today can know this can be done. It's possible. And we need to commit ourselves to it, to follow the Lord our God fully. Scriptures give us a multitude of warnings about failing to do this. In the book of James, in the first chapter, in the 8th verse, James writes about the double-minded man and how he is unstable in all his ways. The man that has two purposes. The man who has two loyalties. The man who has two objectives in his life is going to be unstable. But the man who's determined to follow the Lord, his God, in all of his ways, to follow his Lord fully, is one who can succeed in that purpose. And if you and I are not wholehearted, then we're going to be faint-hearted. You remember, as we read this statement being made by Caleb, he reminisced about those people, those 10 men that went into the land to spy it out with Joshua and himself. And you remember what he said when they came back, what they did? He said they caused the people's hearts to faint. I'll tell you what happens to us when we become men and women who don't have that determination to live fully for our Lord. Then we'll become faint-hearted because our efforts in serving God are not wholehearted. If we're half-hearted, we'll be faint-hearted because we're not wholehearted. Paul wrote in Romans, the 6th chapter, in I believe about the 18th verse, about the devotion of those Roman Christians. And he praised them because he said they had obeyed from the heart that form of teaching that they had received. That's the only way to serve the Lord and to serve Him fully. It is to do it with a whole heart, fully committed to the purpose. But now I want you to think also about the fact that we have a demonstration of not only Caleb's character, but also Caleb's confidence in all of this. In verse 12, he said it this way, "Now give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities." And remember, here's this 85-year-old man looking back at what had transpired when he was 40 years old. "And what we found back when I was 40, he says to Joshua, was in this area that I'm talking to you about, that there were giants in the land, that there were Anakim there. He says, but you give me this land, and I can take it." He says in the latter part of that verse, "Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." Here's a man who has tremendous confidence. Is it tremendous confidence in himself? Are we back to that point about arrogance? Is this a man who is just so completely consumed with himself and impressed with himself that he thinks, "Well, I can go in and do this, no problem"? Well, if you go back and you look at the verses that we've read again, in verse 6, notice that he says, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses." And then you drop down to verse 10. He says, "Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. And then in verse 12, again, as we've read, he said that perhaps I can drive these inhabitants out as the Lord has spoken. His confidence is not placed in himself and his innate abilities. His confidence is placed in God and in doing what God has said. If God has said it, then it can be done. If God has charged us with this, then we ought not to be faint-hearted about it. We ought to be confident that we can do what God charges us with. If faith, as we're told in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, if faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, then so too does confidence. A confidence that grows out of a person's faith, that is produced now by the hearing of God's word. Now, we're not talking about positive thinking. It's not optimism that we're talking about. It's not having a good feeling. It's not having a hunch that things might work out. It's not looking on the bright side of things. It's faith. It's a conviction that what God has said is indeed going to happen. If you and I will have character to fully and wholly follow the Lord, then you and I can have confidence like Caleb had. And we can develop a strong faith. There's a third thing about Caleb that I think we can benefit from as we look at these verses, and that is we can appreciate the courage that he demonstrated. For when a person indeed has the character that comes by fully following the Lord and a confidence that we can achieve and do what God has said we can do, then it's going to produce a courage that will lead to action. Now I want you to think with me about how Caleb's courage was demonstrated. It was demonstrated in three foes that he faced. Back those 40 years ago, and now even in these years when he's now 85 years old, he faced three foes. Grasshoppers, giants, and gray hair. He faced a problem associated with grasshoppers. Look in verse 8 once again. And he says, "Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." How did these other 10 men cause the heart of the people to melt? Why did they cause the heart of the people to melt? Well, let's look at the story as it unfolded back those 40 years before. Over in the book of Numbers, if you'd look there in the 13th chapter, and we'll look in verse 33, where there we're told, there also we saw. This is part of their report. The spies have come back now. These are the 10 men speaking about why we shouldn't go into the land. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight too. I'll tell you what our courage will have to overcome as we try to live by faith. And it's, I've mentioned this to you before, and it's not original with me, but it's what some have called the grasshopper complex. It is the thinking that we're just too small. We're too insignificant. This can't be done. And because it can't be done, it shouldn't be tried. That's exactly what those 10 spies came back saying. In our judgment, it can't be done, and therefore it shouldn't be tried. Why? Well, because we're like grasshoppers. They're so great. They're so powerful. They're so imposing. Well, I want to tell you, Christians will face the grasshopper complex from time to time. And it causes, many times, it causes Christians to just quit trying altogether to be Christians, to quit trying altogether to fully follow the Lord and live in the Lord's ways, because everybody else, it just seems like everybody else isn't trying. It just seems like the whole world is given over to a different way of thinking and living. You think? What were you expecting when you became a Christian? That you were going to face a world that just all of a sudden turns itself on its head and says, okay, well, we'll do things your way. Our friends may turn on us. Our families may turn on us. The people that we treasure the most in our lives may turn on us. And it may become, as a result, this seemingly unconquerable obstacle in life. But it's not. And that's what Caleb teaches us. Living fully to follow our Lord will enable us with confidence to face those kinds of difficulty. I'm not minimizing the difficulty of the obstacles. I'm not saying, oh, you ought to just, you know, you just don't have good faith, and strong faith, if you're just not willing to say, oh, well, these things are nothing. Well, of course they're something. Of course they're imposing. But the fact that they're imposing ought not to cause us to lose a confidence. Remember, Caleb's confidence was based on what? Three times he said it. The Lord said. Our confidence is in what the Lord says. It's not in what we say or what we do or what we think we're capable of. And congregations can face the same kind of problem. Congregations can develop the grasshopper complex and think, oh, well, we can't do that. And because we think we can't do it, then it ought not to be tried. There's a point at which we're talking about a lack of faith. But I tell you, there's a second thing that he faced, a second foe that he had to encounter, and that was giants. That was the problem that he enumerated in verse 12, also in chapter 14 of Numbers. And in verses 6 and following, we find the record of the story where they faced those who were giants, who seemed as though they could not be overcome. I mean, that just goes hand in hand. The grasshopper complex and the giant complex, they go hand in hand one with another. Those who view themselves as incapable grasshoppers will view others as unconquerable giants. And then the third thing I would suggest to you is that he faced the obstacle, the challenge of gray hairs, of growing older You look back in the text in Joshua in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 14. He talks about the onset of age. He speaks of his strength, admittedly so. He speaks of his strength that hadn't waned. He says in verse 11, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day of Moses sent me. My strength was as my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war, for going out, and for coming in. Caleb was speaking about physical strength and about being able to conquer physical foes. Our foes will come in a different form, not physical, but they will be spiritual. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, in verse 16 and following, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Gray hair faces its own challenges, but it provides its own encouragements too. That's what Caleb did for his people and what he does for us today, if we'll allow it. Would you be a man or a woman of courage, of character, of confidence? Then follow the Lord fully. If you're not living your life in submission to Him, then you can begin that following by giving your obedience to Him tonight. You believe Jesus is the Son of God, would turn from your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized to wash the guilt of your sins away. And you'll become one of His children. You can become a man or a woman of courage. We hope that you'll do that while we stand and sing together.